We are recording, and we will open it up. First question. Zach Buchanan.
Mike, I think when we talked to you 2 weeks ago, you said you'd have an answer by the end of the season, just about the larger direction you guys want to take this offseason.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think I hinted at some of that at the time, and I'll reiterate that now. I think, you know, we're going to continue to give a lot of our younger players on the roster the opportunity to come up here and play. I'm not going to put it in, you know, one nice and clean box here, because I don't think that's necessarily where our roster is at. I think we have very few free agents. I think we have still a lot of young players, both in the middle part of their career and on the very younger side of their career, that we still have on our team. I don't really know what the offseason is going to bring in terms of opportunity to continue to push the ball forward externally. But internally, we're going to continue to allow the guys that you've seen matriculate up and those to come to take steps forward onto the roster.
Mike, to sort of follow up on that, like how realistic do you feel like it is to field a contending team next year?
That's probably a more complicated question, given the offseason and what might end up happening overall with playoff spots and things like that. If that's at all up for discussion in terms of what we've had in the past versus what we might have in the future, it's hard to say. So I don't really want to get into that level of specificity. I mean, look, coming off of a 52-win season, you know, making up 30 games in the standings is probably going to be somewhat challenging. 30 games on our win total is probably going to be somewhat challenging. But look, I look at our roster and I think that there were a number of years where guys struggled. And I think there's some things that we need to tackle to get our guys to perform at a better level than what we saw this year individually. And then we need to do a better job in games where we have the opportunity to win the baseball game. And I referenced this 2 weeks ago, and that pattern continued. I think we came in second all time, 120 years of baseball, one run losses. So that's hard to do. I look back over even the last month of September, where we played pretty much first place teams the entirety of the month. We had the opportunity to come out of quite a few of those series, winning those series, and we didn't. We lost them because we lost games by those margins in a lot of cases, games that we should have had won. We need to tighten those things up. I think that's where you're going to see some roster improvement or team improvement on the roster. But on the individual level, you know, we had one guy with over an 800 OPS. I mean, that's not going to get it done in terms of trying to win over the course of 162 games from an offensive perspective. So we need to keep pushing that and looking for ways to build out our offense. And acknowledging that some of the younger guys that have come up, you know, did perform pretty well in spurts, but those were just spurts. We need to turn those spurts into consistency. Steve Gilbert.
Mike, what do you kind of see as obviously the bullpen, but what else would you say are kind of your needs going into the offseason, your biggest needs, maybe position wise?
Well, the bullpen needs to be rebuilt and taken a hard look at. We certainly, on the whole, struggled out there. And, you know, that sort of came to fruition a lot in September as well. I've referenced our defense before. We need to do a better job defensively. We gave away too many games this year because of sloppy play in and around the diamond, not turning double plays that we were used to turning in the past. You know, a lot of drop fly balls in the outfield, either via miscommunication or otherwise. I believe with, you know, we have the opportunity to fix that in shorter order. I believe that's a controllable for us. I think there are some things, and I referenced this a couple of weeks ago, we're going to take a hard look at exactly who we're asking to move around the diamond and whether we're putting them and the team in the appropriate position to play good defense. But that is going to be a priority going into the offseason as well. And then we're looking to push offensive performance. As much as the pitching and the defense finished where it finished, I think in a that large stretch in the middle of the season, you know, again, it's one run, three hits a night without pushing base runners. It's something that's not going to sustain winning. And, you know, we are committed to continuing to try to push that forward.
Barry Bloom.
Hey, Mike. Just the usual, sending you regards on everything that's going on with you and your family before I get started here.
Thank you, Barry.
So how do you guys, you know, it's kind of like the Tampa Bay model. How do you develop a model like that to compete in a division where the top three teams now are far outspending everything that you're doing at this point? I mean, the Dodgers are almost $170 million more than what your payroll, you know, for competitive talent balance was this year. So how do you fix that to compete in a division where these other three teams, the Padres, the Dodgers, and the Giants, are just going to keep spending?
Yeah, unless there's realignment, and I don't have any thought in my mind that that's ever going to happen, that's a problem or an issue that we're going to have to deal with. And it is what it is. That's not going to change. Those ratios, whatever, you know, year to year percentage differences there are, those might change a little bit, but the overarching structure, in my opinion, based on what I see, I don't see it really going anywhere. So our choices are to complain about it, or to develop a robust enough, versatile enough young team and then us in the front office making good decisions via trade or free agency, to complement that team, supplement that team. And that will give us the ability to be a contending baseball team. Payroll is not the only mechanism through which you can be a good baseball team. And it's honestly, to me, it's more of an excuse than anything else, in my personal opinion. If I do my job the right way, okay, yeah, over a 10-year period, payroll can have some impact. I will acknowledge that. But there, it's not going to be the limiting step for whether we can accomplish our goals or not.
One more quick question. Is there anything to learn from the Giants and, you know, everybody's projections, and even within their own organization? They never projected a record-setting win season for them at this point with the conglomeration of players they had coming together. Is there anything to learn in what happened with them, or is that just a one-off?
No, of course there is. I mean, we pay attention to that stuff. You know, they beat us enough, so we watched it firsthand. You don't know really how the sausage gets made. So it's a little, you know, it's hard to really know, but you look at the things that happened to the Giants, and you look at the things that happened to us, and there's some subtle differences in there, I would imagine. I think maybe the aggregation of injuries that we had when the whole rotation was out in May, versus maybe spreading it out across the season. But I look at their team, and I mean, almost their entire team went on the DL or the IL at some point too. So injuries, you know, were happened to them as well. I think the individual performances that we saw, you go back and look at the games that we lost to them and who beat us. It wasn't the same guys all the time. It was It was a roster of 26 players, and that beat us. And that falls mostly on me. But it also falls on our ability to push the boundaries of what we're doing to get our guys to perform at those levels too. And those are going to be the areas that we are committed to dissecting as we move into the off season.
Thank you. Good luck with all of it.
Thank you.
I know, Mike, you said you don't know firsthand how the sausage gets made, but what from afar stands out to you about what the Giants were able to do to get their guys to perform that way?
Look at the consistency of their offense. I mean, I'm boiling it down to what beat us, because those are the hot button things for us, because those are the things we laser lock in on. There's something to be, you know, we got beat five times this year with home runs in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning by a bunch of different guys. That's not luck. That's not random, you know, when that keeps happening over and over and over again. And look, we're out there throwing 95 mile an hour pitches with good breaking stuff too. Like I'm not sure where to assess the talent disparity, but I don't really think it's that great in some cases. But the level of performance that they achieved, I'm sure the other part to this is a real thing, and it's hard to really get your arms around this, but it's part of it. When you roll off winning 106 games, 107 games, every day you come to the ballpark by July, you're assuming you're winning that game. And when you're on a pace to lose 110 games, human nature, it's really hard to not slip into the converse at times. And I don't think that adds huge, you know, swings of wins and losses. You still have to go out and execute on that given night. But I think part of that, from the momentum standpoint, can be a real thing for a team. But when I look at the individual performances of their players, the quality of their at-bats, most specifically, especially giving in a place that's tough to hit, it's not like you're seeing a random offensive outburst year in a place where it's hyper offensive inflated environment, and you could chalk up some of it to that. That's not the case. So it's the impressiveness through which they got countless, I'd say probably off the top of my head, 15 to 16 position players to play at the level that they did. That's something that we have had a lot of discussion about.
Mike, just to stay on that subject, I know a decent amount has been written about what they did with their coaching staff this year. I think what they have, like 13 major league coaches and stuff like that. And I remember a couple of weeks ago, you saying that you guys had some things you wanted to take to Derek and Ken, and that sounded more like beefing up certain departments of the organization rather than, I don't know, you know, changing roles or something like that. Is that kind of along the lines of what you meant, either with your coaching staff or other parts of the org?
Yeah, I don't know exactly beefing up necessarily would just in raw numbers is something that would be as, you know, accurately describe what I was referencing. I think structural changes in the sense of thinking about how we attack problems. And by problems, I mean issues as it relates to either mostly fundamental issues on the field. We are going to examine those processes. I don't think we're at a spot where we should be. I think the collaboration, that the consistency from top to bottom is something. And by the way, most of this falls on me. So this is a self-critical assessment of, in my opinion, of where we are, because this is my job to sort of steer this part of the operation. I'm not sure that from top to bottom, the consistency through which we are executing and helping our players is being done at a level that we should be doing it at. And when things hit during the season, and so that invariably happens, and it happened to every one of the teams in our division too. No team goes through, I don't care how good you are, no team goes through a season where there aren't rough patches and rocky spots for either individual guys or the team itself. We need to do a better job of digging out those issues quicker. And our players do too. They are accountable in this too. What we have seen is that stretch in May and June, it just can't happen. That's not, that's an anomaly that we should have done, and we should do a better job of righting that ship, leveling that ship somehow, and maintaining some level of consistency. I do think some of the things that I've already referenced with regard to our defensive play, especially in critical moments, do come into play on some of those things. So some of those things need to be fixed. We need to put players in a better position to have success in terms of their consistency and their work and their consistency in what positions they're going to play every day. But those are some of the areas that we need to tackle. And we're starting with meetings this afternoon. So this isn't going to linger. We need to take these problems head on. We need to take these problems on in October, not in December or January. And we need to start working towards these things today. The test starts today. As much as I know everyone's been grinding and there's going to be a little more downtime in some cases, we need to get started on this stuff.
Jack Summers.
Hi, Mike. Speaking about the bullpen and pitching overall, the team ranks 29th in average fastball velocity and 30th in strikeout rate from the pitching side. And the numbers are kind of even more extreme out of the bullpen. Philosophically, do you feel like it's important to maybe get a little bit more higher velocity and higher strikeout rates out of the bullpen going forward? And at the same time, that will help possibly reduce some of those balls in play in late innings that create some of those moments where the defense has a lapse.
Totally understand. Yes, I would like to reduce balls in play late in the innings. Yes, the balls that don't get put in play don't get hit over the fence. I totally agree with that. You know, it's tough because the St. Louis Cardinals are going to the playoffs with the lowest strikeouts per nine in baseball. And so maybe that's all their rotation. I don't know. I haven't really broken down. I know you're specifically asking me with the bullpen, and I will definitely address that. I'm not sure that, you know, now, to be fair, I think the St. Louis Cardinals might be the best defensive team in baseball. If not, they're elite in a lot of positions in baseball, defensively. So I'm sure those things, we were neither of those things. And so I'm sure that's where the results end up, even though we're right next to them and in strikeout per nine. We have prioritized having guys that throw strikes, put the ball in play on the ground in some cases to where, and that has paid some dividends for us. I think that you can go too far in that direction. I think that, yes, we need to address the sheer stuff, swing and miss, strikeout ability of our bullpen in order to envision better results. I also think it needs to come along with us tightening down defensively, but pitching stuff alone, yes, we need to attack that area. And I think that's doable. It's not an area where that skill set is, you know, there's ample opportunities for you to acquire more power in your bullpen. Now, in a lot of cases, when you're doing that, it comes with some inconsistency, either regarding strike throwing or results. So we need to address that as well. So if we're going to do that, go that route, we need to be prepared that some of those bullpen acquisitions are going to be more fixes or major league development guys, as opposed to plug and play back end relievers that are going to wipe everybody out. Now we have a number of the second piece to that is we probably had the best development pitching year in the minor leagues since I've been here. We have a large group of pitchers that fit that profile, most of whom we see as future starting pitchers. One of the things that we're not going to be, you know, shutting our minds off to is the opportunity for those guys to come in and impact our bullpen earlier in their careers, if in fact they're ready to go do that. You saw that a little bit with Taylor Widener. I think he made it into the rotation at points in time, but we did that with him a year prior. But there is going to be a group of arms that are going to be ready to come to the big league level. And at some point, you know, we're going to prioritize starting pitchers just because that's a more challenging area of the marketplace to ever dive into for any team. It's easily the most valuable commodity on any market, trade, free agency, you name it. Internal prospect valuation from other teams. And so we'll prioritize that, but letting these guys get their feet wet in the bullpen is going to be something that we're going to talk about as well.
Mike, on the flip side of that, with your bullpen and maybe third base comes to mind, are there, I know you said you guys are going to let the young players play, that you need to give them opportunities, but are there some areas, maybe those two, where you do need to go out and get some steady help, maybe a veteran presence, just so it's not as volatile?
Yeah, I'm not planning on sitting on our, it's a good question. I'm not planning. I don't want this to come across as, you know, again, we're closing the laptop today. And, you know, this is, we expect to move the ball forward next year. I don't, to Nick's question, I'm not going to get all the way into exactly how I would see what the team is going to be capable of doing. I'm not going to sell the team short, but I'm also not going to be unrealistic about, you know, realizing that we're a 52 win team. And you might get tired of me saying that, but I'm going to keep saying it because I want us all to remember where we are right now. And it's in the easily the worst place that I've ever sat. And I'm responsible for it. So it's even more painful. But I don't want to be back here again. This is, you know, I want to move we're going to move the ball forward next year. And part of that, yes, Zach is always, I believe, is going to be engaging the markets and figuring out how we can continue to make our team better.
Sorry, Mike, just to follow up on that. Sure. Is third base a position you think you need help at externally?
We haven't gone through the systematic with our scouts and our front office guys and women to sort of digest what's happened during the season. Theoretically, we could have done that through the month of August and September, clearly. But it's really hard to have those conversations when the team is still playing because things change, right? Performances change, guys make adjustments, and all of a sudden people see them in different lights. We have scouts scouting all the way through the end of the season that are turning in scouting reports, so we don't have all those yet. I think that third base is a clear area, yes, that we need to be better at. I think right field, depending on what happens with Cole, depending on what's happens with center field, second base, so Cattell. But I will say this, beyond all that, you know, I don't really envision feeling like on a 52 win team, there's a lot of jobs that aren't going to be discussed in terms of who has a lockdown position on this ball club. I don't feel a responsibility of doing my job if we're coming off this season and thinking that we're going to plug in player X, Y, and Z into the team and saying that's going to move that, you know, there's, I envision going into spring training with a lot of competition.
Sierra Santos.
Hi, Mike. I'll preface this question by explaining that I covered a White Sox team that went through some pretty brutal seasons. Now they've won the division, and the front office, specifically Rick Hahn, was always preaching patience, and the motto was trust the prospects. What is your message to fans moving forward, knowing that you might have a couple more tough seasons?
Well, first of all, I'm extremely disappointed in where we're standing today. I said this a couple times during the course of the season. We didn't set a course for 52 wins. And look, nobody sets a course for 52 wins. We didn't set a course for this level of play is probably a better way to put it. And to then undershoot that level of play by the significance with which we did is extremely disappointing. And if I were a fan, I'd be extremely disappointed, and rightly so. I will say We have a roster that is not, I don't think, in the conventional position based on what I may be misrepresenting maybe what the true talent level is. But I believe we're going to have a team, a group of players, a group of in their prime players who have all shown the ability to play at the major league level, not at a consistent, not to any large degrees of consistency in some cases, but have shown the ability to play at the major league level at a fairly decent clip. And we're going to need those guys to continue to take a step forward, and we're going to integrate our younger players onto the team, I would think, fairly quickly. We have a number of players that are at the upper levels of our system. This isn't a situation for me where we are relying on a series of top five draft picks to get us back into a position where we should be. That's my opinion. So I think, however you see the next 360 days, I think there's a lot of volatility with how you could see the next 360 days, myself included. We still have good baseball players on this team, good baseball players that hopefully coming off of this season, going into this offseason, preparing to rectify the situation, we should see different results.
Mark McClune.
Hey, Mike, you know, you think back to where the franchise was in 2017, going to the playoffs, and the excitement there and the atmosphere where, you know, around the ballpark in the last game and just the last month here. How motivating will it be for you watching the playoffs to try to get the franchise back to a spot like that?
Watching the playoffs of other teams play?
Yeah.
Not motivating, painful. I you know, it's a reminder of who you're not. And, you know, you watch because you got to pay attention to the free agents that are out there performing, and you got to watch because they're trade targets that are going to be out there performing. But it's, I'm not going to lie, it's hard to watch, because every night you watch another team that you competed against that for whatever given night on any given time, you felt like, at least, especially in the wild cards, I won't necessarily, you know, reference the very, very top of our division. You know, it's hard to sometimes understand where you don't match up in certain cases, but we didn't. But what we experienced in 17 and 18, yes, that is the driving motivating factor to get us back to playing meaningful September baseball. We need to get back to when the calendar turns on September 1st, people are paying attention to us because we're making people pay attention to us. That has not happened in the last 2 years. Take out last year for whatever you would categorize September being that, but that has not happened the last 2 years, and it's extremely frustrating and something that we're motivated to turn around quickly.
Two more questions. Evan Thompson.
Hi, Mike. I know after a season like this, it can be hard to find any positives, but were there any positives from this season that you took?
That's a hard question. I'll be honest with you. There's not at the major league level, you know, pitching, hitting, defense, there's not a lot in aggregate that I could say that we should be taking away feeling really good about. Sure, there were some individual performances. I mean, where Varsho dug himself out from where he was to where that path could have gone. Extremely proud of his ability to battle through that and end up where he did, which is maybe our most dynamic player, honestly, by the end of the season. You know, I thought Josh Rojas probably had, you know, outside of Cattell, who, you know, it's tough for Cattell because I think the bar has been set at a spot where the guy posts a 900 OPS and you know, that's what Cattell does. So it's a little unfair there. But I thought Josh Rojas had probably our most consistent season as a young player coming off of the season he had in 2020. But I'm not going to go down too many routes with individual performances. We collectively move forward, you know, as a team. And in the end, you know, taking silver linings for 52 win seasons to me don't exist. It just doesn't exist. I can't put myself in that mental position. And I'm not trying to be, you know, not trying to be negative towards what we're trying to build. But that's just not something that I can take from it. I think on the underbelly of things, I think we probably had one of our best, if not our best player development seasons that we've had. And that was minus our three best position players. So adding those three guys to the mix. And then the draft, I feel like our scouts in the draft have done an exceptional job. Exceptional. I would be hard pressed to think of a team that has hit where Derek and Ian and his scouts have hit through the first 100 picks of our drafts over the last 5 years. Now, look, I know current, you know, isn't going to, the current situation is going to predict future results, but I do feel good about that process through this season again for another year.
Last question, Zach Buchanan.
Mike, I apologize. I might try and get two questions for the price of one here. One, just really quickly, you've talked a lot about how you want to kind of build around the young core that you have, but where does that leave you in, with the question of the trade inquiries you might get on some of your more established players like Cattell, Zach Gallen, et cetera?
Yeah.
And then my second question would be just more looking back than forward. Do you think that there were signposts that you and your front office missed over the last couple of years when you guys were making some moves to fortify the major league team and thinking this was going to be a more competitive group than it was?
Yeah, both very fair questions. One, I think I've answered this question before. I'm not going to be not answering the phone. I love our guys. They are great people, and I believe in the group of players. Even without, you know, acknowledging sitting here today that the performance wasn't what it needed to be on the individual or collective level, but we're not one player away from taking down the Dodgers or the Giants. So I don't feel like I can get into a spot where I can start crossing names off a list, because the goal is to win. The goal is not to aggregate or just find talented players to add into your roster. We need to put a team together that's going to win. And so specific on that, again, the defensive side of things for us is it's not necessarily going out there and getting, you know, a player that would be, obviously we try to do this, a consensus top five player in the game if he became available. But we need to do a better job in the front office of matching up what we believe is important specific to the defensive side to be able to go out and execute that for 162 games. So we need to be open-minded on what that future team is going to look like. We have talent on our roster. We need to find a way to put it together better, my opinion. The second piece to your question, yeah, I think that's probably fair. I challenge myself. I've asked myself this question. We did a poll interview on this in the off season. I challenge myself to think why wouldn't I try to compete if I'm not doing long-term harm to the organization? And outside of probably the Starling Marte trade, where we traded two very young players, guys that a young Latin American free agent sign and a very high draft pick. We have not in almost any deal made those types of moves to take on short-term risk at the expense of long-term organizational, you know, talent players for the long-term. So we've done almost everything in the short-term to continue to try to put a team on the field that the fans are going to be proud of and that will come and support. Whether the Dodgers and the Giants win 106 and 107 games, our fans are smart. I don't think we were ever selling winning 106 or 107 games. We're talking about going out there and competing at a level that we need to compete at. We did not do that this year. The question of whether I should have torn away, you know, the structure of the, say, the 2020 team, that's a fair criticism. Yes, would we be further ahead? Maybe. But if we were going to be further ahead with our draft picks, the 2017 draft is on the team. The 2018 draft is on the team or just below it. I think the 2019 draft is going to be right behind it. And so, you know, that's a tough one because I don't know exactly how much further ahead we would be. We probably would have been able to make a few more trades to bring in a few more prospects in order to be a little, to whatever degree we would be further ahead. It's a fair criticism looking back over the results that we did not compete in 2020 and 2021 to the level that we should have, or we thought in the front office we were going to, and thereby we were wrong. We were wrong. It's hard for me to truly understand exactly where we would have gone differently, and unless we, you know, traded somebody like Cattell way earlier or something to that degree. We just didn't feel like that's what we should have done at the time. And we're standing where we are today, in large part, if not all part, because of me, because of the course that I charted. And we're going to chart up from here.
All right, everybody, that's it for Hayes. Give us a couple minutes and we'll get Tori on. Thanks, Hayes.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.